Well, let's, on that topic, let's go to Romans 12:1. We're going to start a new series for a few weeks. Leading up to Easter, we're going to talk about the topic of being a living sacrifice. And I want to talk to you for several weeks about sacrificial Christian living. We're going to go to that. We're going to begin today with an introductory lesson, a living sacrifice. And it's, you probably know the passage, it's Romans 12. Romans 12. And then I'm excited about something else. Oh, you know, I've got a lot of things I want to share with you today. There's something else I want to talk about, because we don't get a lot of time to, the announcements go quick in church, or at least they're supposed to go quick in church. So something else that we want everybody to be praying about, not just the bus, but several of the men have, it's been laid on their heart that they want to do a project for the Headley family. We all know the struggle that Brother Chris is going through. And the bathroom in their house is very small and in serious need of repair. So some of the men came to my dad and then also to me and how we want to raise some money to redo their bathroom for them. Lord willing, Chris is going to get his surgery very quickly, and we hope and pray that will really slow down the progress of his disease. But everyone knows how fast it's progressed and the difficulty that he's having. So I still don't know exactly who's raising the money. Do we know who's collecting the money yet? Me. All right. I can do that. So we're going to collect some money for them. We figure it's probably going to cost about $1,500. Okay. If we can do it for less, we'll do it for less and give the whatever comes in as an extra offering for them for anything they need. But the idea is to make it a bigger bathroom, more accessible, so if the time comes and he needs to be in there with any kind of assistance, that he'll be able to have the room to do that. And they're financially tight because this is affecting his work and a lot. So there's a real need. And it's a good opportunity this morning to share that because they're not with us in the class. So be praying for them. His surgery, Lord willing, will be soon. And if you can have a part in helping us, we'll be doing that for the next several weeks as well. Okay. Let's go now to Romans 12. So we are going to talk about being a living sacrifice. One other thing, I'm really looking forward to, we're coming into the Easter season. By next weekend, we're going to have Easter cards for folks to give out to your friends, neighbors. We always see, in the springtime, we always see an increase of guests that come to church. Lord willing, we'll have many people here for the Resurrection Sunday service. And then after that, we're going to, 2 weeks after Easter, we're going to start a Sunday school class that we're calling Foundations. And Foundations is really going to be a class that talks about the beginning of the Christian life and the beginning of your life in the local church. You know, a lot of people that come through these doors, they don't have, and maybe some of you when you first became a Christian, a lot of people don't have any idea what it means to be part of a church. Right? I mean, to them, church is just a place that you go. It's like another event to put into the week. So we want to have kind of a front door to our church, and that's going to be the Foundations class. Lord willing, it will be something that we're able to continue as we continue to see guests and new people come. But what I want to do to start it out is we're going to take our whole group through it. We take the whole, so that everybody understands what are we, when new people come into the church, when we introduce them to what it means to be a part of our church and the body of Christ here, that it will be, so that everybody knows what is it that we're teaching. We'll go through the things like what our church believes, how we practice. And we'll start out with a real simple lesson because that's the beauty of a class like that. Even if someone's not saved, they can come be a part of it. They're going to hear the gospel in the first one. So that's something that's going to be coming up. And I'm telling you about it way in advance because I want you to get excited about it. I want you to be thinking between now and Easter, who am I going to invite to church? Lord willing, see them get saved. And then maybe even bring them with you as your guest into this class that we're going to have so that they can get a strong foundation to a Christian life. I think we all want to have a burden to see people saved, amen? And grow in the Lord and see our church established and growing. but I think we ought to be expectant about it, don't you? That we ought to say, Lord, we believe that you want to add to your church, so show us, bring us into the paths of people that that we can reach. And so, does that make sense? Everybody, I'll mention it more a little bit, but we're going to do that class. It'll be something that'll be really great to bring a guest to, and that's how we'll do it. So I'm using this series to prepare us for that. Because any Christian that's going to have an impact in the world around them has to develop this principle that we'll talk about in the next few weeks. And that's the decision to live a sacrificial, Christ-centered life. Do you believe that's important? I mean, it's vital. And all of us know that we may have been there at times in our life, we may even be there now, but our tendency is to drift back, isn't it? Our tendency is always, if we're not moving forward, you can be sure what's happening. We're sliding back. Because the world moves at a breakneck speed all around us, and if Christians aren't moving forward, then you can be sure we're sliding back. And so every now and then we have to stop and say, you know what? It's time to take another step forward for the Lord. And so this topic of sacrificial living is so important, it's going to be vital to that. So let's look this morning at Romans chapter 12. And I hope that you'll come with an open heart and open mind. I hope this will encourage you. I hope it'll also challenge you to a higher level of living. And let's ask the Lord's help. We'll pray, and then we'll go right into the scriptures. And I'd encourage you to jot a few notes down this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can be here, your church gathered in your name, to fellowship, to worship, to hear the preaching, and to serve one another and to serve our world. I pray that you'd embed these truths in our hearts. Help us to leave today renewed, restored, and closer to you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, would you read out loud verse number 1 of Romans chapter 12 with me together? In our Bibles, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to give you 3 points this morning, and a couple little subpoints in there. You know, I like to sneak those in. I want to give you 3 points this morning. They all start with P, all right? And here they are. I'll give them to you right at the beginning. First, we're going to see a plea. What are we going to see first? All right, you're good. You're awake with me this morning. First, we're going to see a plea. Then we're going to see a possibility. What is it? A possibility. And then thirdly, we're going to see a place. A what? So all three of those, first we're going to see a, then we're going to see a, and then a, all right. So let's look at the plea. The plea is very simple. It's a plea for sacrificial living. When we think about a sacrifice, so that's the topic. It we'll break down verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Man, that verse is just packed with all kinds of information. But if you look at it, if you meditate on it, let's for a second, let's peel back all the this and the that. What is the one? If you could pull the truth out of that and just say, what is the one point in the verse? All of the accessory stuff around it is going to be vital and important. But what is the main point of the verse? If you could boil it down to the one thing he's saying in just a couple of words, it would be what? Be a living sacrifice. That's what it is. The one point, you break down all the stuff around it. All that stuff is leading up to it, supporting it, introducing it. The whole point is, be a living sacrifice. That's the point that's at the heart of the verse. This is what I want. But what we see him here is, there's a plea. He comes in, there's some key words. The second word in the verse, I what? What does that mean? He's like, I pray you. I beg you, I plead with you. Now, isn't that interesting? He says, I want you to be a living sacrifice, and I'm going to make this plea. But I got a little ahead of myself. If the main point is to be a living sacrifice, what's a sacrifice? What's going through the mind of the people that are being written to in Romans chapter 12? What's going through their mind? What picture is in their mind when they hear sacrifice? Oh, that's a vivid image. A knife plunging? Okay. Why? What's the image? Yeah, they're thinking about the Old Testament sacrificial system. And Isabel gave us a graphic description of that, but really, that's what happened. It was animals were killed. They were offered. But there is an irony in the statement here, because when he doesn't call them to be a sacrifice, but he calls them to be a what? A living sacrifice. And it's been said, and it's a little bit cliche, you may have heard it before, but it's been said, the problem with living sacrifices, does anybody know what the problem with living sacrifices is? Have you heard it? Hang on, there's a little statement here. I'll give it to you in a second. Has anybody heard the little saying? Oh, good, so it's all original this morning. Okay. The problem with living sacrifices is that they keep getting up off the altar. Right? Okay? That's the problem with living sacrifices. The sacrifices in the Old Testament that were offered to God, they had no choice in the matter. They were being offered as a sacrifice, a sweet savor to God. But he hasn't called us to die for him. He's called us to live for him, but we live in the same way that the sacrifice was offered to him. Sacrifices were offered, they gave up their very life. Sacrifices were offered, and they were a sweet smell to God. It was a beautiful thing in the presence of God. And we are called to be a living sacrifice. I heard a great message, actually, when I was probably 16 years old. We went down on a college trip to Pensacola, Florida, to visit the school with another church and some other teenagers. And I sat in the Dale Horton Auditorium, and I still remember this message. Pastor Jim Shetler preached, and he preached to all of us there, and he said, you know what? He said, I have no doubt that many of you would be willing to die for Jesus. Because that's always like, oh, if I would have the courage to die. But we know throughout church history, it's amazing how Christians have been willing to go to the stake or to go to the lions for the Lord. We see Christians struggle through disease and cancer and awful situations. And he says, I have no doubt that most of you would suffer for Jesus. You would die for Jesus. But you won't, what? Live for Jesus. We won't live for him. And it's amazing how true that is. And that's why I believe sometimes God puts us through purging and difficulty. But here we ask to offer our lives as a sacrifice, and there's a plea. There's a plea. Give your life to God. Why would he plea? What do we learn from the fact that even in Romans chapter 12, he's pleading? What does that say to us? He's begging us. So what do we, if you reflect on that, would any thoughts come to mind? There you go. We're hard to get through to. Any other thoughts come? Stubborn? Exactly. Why else? There you go. Because there's a level of difficulty. It's a level of higher living in the Christian life. What else comes to mind when we hear that? Those are great answers. Oh, that's really good. So he's begging on our behalf. He's begging with us. If you only realize, and I'm going to show you something about that in a minute. That's really good. Why do you think the devil fights so hard to keep us, to tempt us, and to draw us away, and to lead us astray? Because when we live that sacrificial life, it's going to be my little sub-point here. And I'll give it to you. There's three things as you think about the plea. There's a plea to delight, but then there are some demands, and then there's a duty. You can jot those down if you want. A delight, demands, and duty. And what my dad just said is perfect. That it's a delight. He says, how does he say to give our bodies? He says, present them. Present them to the Lord. Yep. Yep. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that after, but I'll give you something actually in just a minute when we look at the second verse that'll help you with that. So hang with me. All right? Because that'll come up in verse number 2. So we see we see this plea here, but he says to present your body. Present it. I think of those times, there were many offerings given in the Bible, but there were certain celebratory offerings. Like when Solomon, you remember when Solomon offered to dedicate the temple? Do you remember reading about that in the Bible? Solomon, and they described the sacrifice and all the animals I mean, it was just like, you know, 100 of these and 1,000 of these and all these. And people were just coming. It was exciting that here we are. We've got this temple and we're going to dedicate it to the Lord. And everybody came willingly with an offering and with anticipation and excitement, and they presented it to the Lord. And there is a delight to the sacrifice we offer to God. We should come and we should say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Take me, use me, and with enthusiasm and excitement. And maybe there's a little bit of trepidation, maybe there's a little bit of anxiety there, but we know He's a good God, we know we can trust Him, and we come with a delighted heart that presents ourselves to the Lord and say, God, I want to see how You can use me. How can You use me? But then we also see not just the delight, but there are some demands. And this is where we waver. As we think about this plea to sacrificial living, yes, it's a delight, but there are some demands on us. And what is the word here, if there's one word above all, that shows us the demands? It's not reasonable service, we'll get there, but it shows us the demands of living a sacrificial life. What's the word in there? Holy. In verse number one, holy. He calls us to be holy. And He'll expound on that in that verse, not being conformed to the world. But He says, be holy, a living sacrifice that is holy. And holy is we know that we are made holy in our standing before God. The moment we believe on Christ, we're justified and we're sanctified. We're made holy in the presence of God. But then we're called on to live in a holy way. And that's when we make tough decisions. Then that's when we decide, I'm not going to have a part in this because I belong to Jesus. I'm going to make a choice that I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to put that in front of my eyes. I'm not going to pursue that opportunity because I belong to Jesus. That's holiness. And holiness gets a bad rap. Like, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. No, I'm holy because I belong to the Lord. He's mine. I am His. It's just like in a marriage. Husbands and wives, what a terrible marriage if the husband or wife went around saying, oh, I'm not allowed to go be with that person because I got to be with my spouse. Well, people would say, what kind of a terrible marriage is that? And people have marriages like that. But a true marriage should be, a true marriage or a relationship should be, I belong to my spouse and we are wedded to Christ, amen? I belong to my spouse, so why would I want to be with anyone else? Because that relationship is so special and so wonderful. That's a relationship we're called into with the Lord. That why would I want to dabble with pornography? Why would I want to throw my money at gambling? Why would I want to waste my life with drink? Why would I want to go to these places and see those things? Why would I want to do that when I have this relationship with Jesus that I want to protect? That's holiness. And that's the demand of a sacrificial life. Now, as we grow in Christ, those demands sometimes get hard. And it's not always deciding, holiness isn't always deciding between what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes holiness is deciding between it's not always good and bad, but sometimes it's good versus best. You know what I mean? Sometimes we have to let go of things that are okay, they're good, they may not be bad, but Christ wants to call us to a new place. God's calling us to a new place where we have to sacrifice what may even be a good thing for something that's better. Maybe harder, maybe more difficult, but it's something better. So there's a delight in living a sacrificial life. There are some demands that are placed on me, but then He reminds us, and this is not popular these days, but it's balanced in all of Paul's teachings, all of the New Testament. There is a duty. There is a duty to living the Christian life. He says it in this verse, and it's in that phrase right at the end. And what is it? Reasonable service. You have to combine reasonable service with a statement higher up in the verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the what? So He begins His plea to the brethren by reminding us of whatever important thing, the mercies of God, that God would be so merciful to an undeserving sinner. We're reminded of His mercy, and then we're challenged to offer a reasonable service. We think of it sometimes so improperly. We think of it as, we think of it as, well, okay, I mean, this is, you know, I'm doing the Christian life. I go to church every now and then. I put a little money in the offering. I listen to Christian music. You know, I'm doing good, right? And to go beyond that, I mean, to go beyond that, that's like for the super Christians. That's like for, you know, for the people that have been saved for a long time. But no, he reminds us, no, for every believer, it is simply, to live a sacrificial life is simply our what? Our reasonable service. So on the one hand, think about the extremes. On the one hand, we have a reasonable service. It's what's expected. It's our duty. And then the other hand, we have the mercies of God. Is there anything reasonable about the mercies of God? What does reasonable mean? Reasonable means it just makes. Do the mercies of God make sense? Not at all. It's like on this hand, you've got the mercies of God that compels us. God has been so good to us. And if we're not careful, we start to think that we kind of deserve that. But that's the complete opposite of mercy. Mercy is being spared of what we deserve. And then, so he's been so merciful and so gracious, and then he asks us, just do a reasonable amount of what's expected of you. It's amazing. Our duty is simple. It's a reasonable service that he's called us to. So we see, first of all, the first P, he gave us a what? A plea. He gave us a plea to live a sacrificial life. And I'll plead with you this morning. If we are going to see God do something in our church, if we're going to see God do something in our families, if we're going to see God do something in our midst, we all have to plead with each other. We all have to plead with each other and say, God, make us living sacrifices. Help me not to live for me. Help me to live for you. Well, first of all, I said that there was going to be a plea. Then secondly, I said there's going to be a what? A possibility. Whenever God calls us to do something, he then equips us to do it. Could you say that statement with me? When God calls us to do something, he then equips us to do it. One more time. When God calls us to do something, he equips us to do it. And how does God equip us for everything in the Christian life? By grace and through whom? Through the Holy Spirit. By grace, through the Holy Spirit. That's why he challenges us in verse number 2. And be not what? Conformed to this world. What is conformed? Conformed is when we all try to look. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager, everybody started wearing, not everybody, but this group of people started wearing black clothes. Remember when that became popular? I think it was in the 90s. Everybody started wearing the black clothes, and the girls would put on the black lipstick. You still see it sometimes, and the black eyeshadow, and the black nail polish. And the first person to do that was really making a statement. But about the 2.5 millionth person that did that wasn't really making a statement anymore, were they? Because I'm going to be different just like everybody else, just like them. Exactly. And it's conformity. And you see it displayed, especially with kids in high school, right? We all see it. And if you've had teenagers, they're going to, Dad, I can't wear that. I mean, none of the kids wear that. I can't do that. And you know, some of you go back to your yearbook pictures in high school and you get a good chuckle. I can't do that. I got to, but really what's happening? It's conformity. And you know, we grow and we mature past that. But we never really, that temptation to conform never really goes away. We learn how to camouflage it. And we start to live like everybody. And it's not always bad things. But we live like the people around us. Right? We spend our money the way the people around us do. We go to the same events. We value the same things. And it just becomes what's called culture. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with culture, but Pastor says it all the time, in every culture, Christians are called to be countercultural. We're called to be different. We're called to be holy to the Lord. But the temptation to conformity, I don't have time to give you all of the applications. Well, you're conformed this way, you're being conformed that way. You got to do a little introspection, and you got to go home and say, you know what, God? Show me the ways that I'm just living my life because it's the way everybody around me lives. Where are the ways, God, that you're calling me to a higher level of living, but I'm just conforming? I'm just living the blando Northern Berkshire life. Because that's what happens. Wherever you live. And if you live somewhere else, you just live like all the people there. That would be the temptation. But we have a better guide to follow. And we have a better teacher, and that's the Holy Spirit. Because he says this, be not conformed to this world, but, okay, now I want you to say the answer. Be not conformed, go ahead, but be ye transformed. Transformation, change. There's been a great change in me, great change in me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. We're supposed to be transformed, changed, new, and new in Christ. He says, be transformed. But what happens now is that people are content to not be changed. It's kind of like, that's why I love baptism. Isn't baptism an awesome thing? Baptism is the picture of the total transformation. I go into the water, a sinner. It's a picture now. The water doesn't cleanse us. We understand that. But that's the picture. The picture is that I go into the water, a picture of my sinful life, and then I come up out of the water changed, brand new, a new creation. What a lousy picture the sprinkling is, huh? I mean, how pathetic. But that's how people want to live their Christian life. People want to say, you know what? Let's just sprinkle a little church into my life. Let's just sprinkle a little Jesus into my life. We'll sprinkle a little this and sprinkle a little that. And Jesus says, no, get down into the water and come up clean and new and transformed. And that's what we do. And that's why baptism is such a happy thing. It's such an exciting thing to see because it's somebody that says, I am ready for Jesus to change my life. 100%. So he says, be transformed. And how are we transformed? By the what? Renewing of our mind. Boy, we could talk all about this. It talks about, it talks about in the scripture how to bring, in the Corinthian epistle, it says, bringing into captivity every thought and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ. We have to let the Holy Spirit change our thinking. So here's the answer to your question, right? So what happens is, what we need, if we really want to get a restart in certain areas in our life, now there are people that can help us, we understand that, but ultimately the only one who can change our thinking is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to do it through what agent? The Word of God. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and it changes the way we think about things. You get in the Bible, you read the Bible, you study the Bible, you live the Bible, and it will start to change the way that you think about things. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and just be like, man, we're having like two totally different conversations here? You ever had a breakdown in communication like that? Yeah, it's like we're talking about two completely different things. We're using the same words, but we're not on the same page. We're in a different book. This is a different movie altogether. And with the Christian life, that can happen. Because here's what takes place. Pastor gets up here. And man, he's preaching away on Sunday. And he's saying, hey, this is what you need in your life. And this. And he's preaching the Bible. But because Christians aren't living in a renewed mind, he's preaching one thing, and you could be thinking something totally different. And it happens all the time. Because we hear what we want to hear. And we apply what we want to apply. And nobody can change your thinking except the Holy Spirit. And we have to make the conscious decision to be renewed. So he gives us the possibility. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, I just don't know what God wants me to do with my life. I just don't know. It's our responsibility to do what? What's it say? That ye may, what? Prove. That ye may prove. Well, I just don't know. It's our responsibility to know what the will of God is for our life. Well, if God would just show me what to do, how's he going to show us? In the scripture, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach us. So there is a plea, a possibility, and then thirdly, for sacrificial living, thirdly, there is a what? A place. A place. And this is one of the biggest things that's neglected in America today. Verse number 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as, here it is, verse 4, as we have many what? Members in what? One body. All members have not the same office, so we being many are what? One body in Christ, and every one members of another. What is the place of the sacrificial Christian life? That's right. The body of Christ. Where do we see the body of Christ manifested in the world? In the local church. He's going to give us gifts of service. We don't have time. We may look at those in this. We'll have a lesson on this in this series. We're going to talk about gifts of service. Where is this? Where is the place where the service takes place? The local church. In and through. And then, through a strong local church, service extends. But to be a living sacrifice, you see a Christian who neglects the assembling of ourselves together. You look at a Christian who neglects the assembling of the body, and you find a Christian who's not living a sacrificial life. Because we're called to service in the body. We're called to service one to another. The place. And that's why he has gifted us. Some people will say, oh yeah, well the body of Christ is just all out there. Well, he describes the gift of the body. Ministry, teaching, prophecy, exhortation. It's all clear that these are things that take place within the context of a local church. It's all demonstrated throughout the Bible. Listen, I'm out of time. So I just want to leave you this. Church is not a place we go. Can you say that with me? Church is not a place we go. It's a family we belong to. Okay? It's not a place we go. We say that all the time. Go to church. Go to church. Go to church. Let's go to church. Let's go to church. That's the assembling. That's vital. But church is something we belong to. And that's what's missing from a lot of Christians' lives. Church is not a place we go. So we're called to sacrificial living. We'll spend a week talking about different topics regarding living a sacrificial life. We saw a plea, a beseeching. We saw the possibility we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the place is in and through the body of Christ, the local church. Amen? All right. Good time with you this morning. Let's pray and prepare for the preaching a little later. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the scripture. We thank you for our church. Help us to always remember the awesome responsibility that we have and the privilege to serve you and love you and to serve our brothers and sisters and the world around us. We ask that our time of worship would lift up and magnify your name. And we pray that the preaching would speak to our hearts. We'd leave changed today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. We're dismissed.